All right, you're back in the DFSR. It's an NFL podcast. It's Wednesday. It's December 23rd. I'm Doug Norrie, and over there is
James Davis.
And we are coming at you week 16 in the NFL. Got a crazy week this week. We got a Christmas Day game. Not sure why they did that, frankly. Not sure why they did a Christmas Day game and not a Christmas Eve game to compete against basketball, or to not compete against basketball.
Because they're coming through the throat on basketball now. They're like, yeah, basketball. Nice. We saw what happened when they went up against us in the fall.
Guess who thinks they're going to own Christmas Day too? Okay, maybe we'll start owning Christmas Day. Now that we've proven we can play any day of the week, which the NFL has done. So we got a Christmas Day game. We got two Saturday games, something like that. Should probably have known this before I jumped on here. Three Saturday games, and then a main slate, and then a Monday. So really spread out weekend of football. We're going to talk about. Just a main slate here where there's plenty to dissect going in. Some injury stuff we'll get to. We'll get to a lot of it also in the game-by-game breakdown, which we obviously do on Thursdays of every week where we do go team-by-team, breaking down different injury concerns, breaking down the different stuff that you're going to want to look into, some bets. We got a lot of those coming out this week after another strong week of betting. So you're going to want to make sure you tune into tomorrow's podcast where we go game-by-game. Do want to break down the main slate for FanDuel and DraftKings, though. Start a quarterback. I mean, are we fully believing in Jalen Hurts? It's only two games. And is this a situation where, yes, he started off at like 5,100 on DraftKings and then rose up to, something like 60-something hundred last week. Now it's up to 7K. Are we in a situation with Hurts where, yes, the price is up and we're still just getting kind of like insane value on the skill set that he at least brings from a fantasy perspective, even though the team's like 1-1, whatever it is. But from a fantasy perspective, I mean, he's just kind of like a QB1 at this point.
Yeah, I'm not ready to call him a QB1, I don't think. I think the carries are definitely legit, and you can count on him for 11 to 14 carries, which is great. He's a pretty bad passer. That's the one thing I'm concerned about. And actually, oftentimes we don't talk about the defense on this. I do like the Cowboys defense quite a bit this week. It's really tough to not throw interceptions when you only complete like 56% of your passes, which is what he's done so far in the NFL. So I'm not actually very bullish on him on the passing side. Last week, I would call it just a complete aberration to go 24 of 44 for 338 and three touchdowns. Like, you'll never see a line like that out of him again. So that being said, can you like push over the finish line with, if he gets you 15 carries for 100 yards? Absolutely. We've talked about guys who fit this profile in the past, and they don't really need to do much. The passing stuff, they kind of invert it, right? It's like, normally you're like, Aaron Rodgers, he's going to be good, and then he'll get you 2.5 points on the ground. And it's like, Jalen Hurts kind of flips that. So I don't mind the play, but I'm hesitant to call him. He's also got four fumbles in these two games too, but I'm hesitant to call him a QB1 in capital letters just yet.
Okay, that's fair. We do have him for a pretty high projection. We're probably running into a few little sample size issues on his projection, would be my guess. I still think it's 7,000 on DraftKings. The floor is just high enough.
Yeah, I agree on that.
Compared to just the rest of the group. I mean, maybe you want to say 8,200 on FanDuel is a little bit closer when you can get Deshaun Watson at 85. Going up to Mahomes at 94 against Atlanta is probably doable, but I'm not sure I want to do it. But I did write up Deshaun Watson after Hurts here. He gets Cincinnati. Now, Cincinnati coming off that surprise win over Pittsburgh, I can't feel like anything more than an outlier. At one point, Ben Roethlisberger had like four completions for negative 2 yards. That's nearly impossible to do. It's something I feel like what happened to me if I was taking snaps, because I just simply can't throw the ball far enough. And so I would have to just throw. I was like, hey, we're just going to throw it a little bit ahead to you and hope you don't get, tackled behind the line of scrimmage. So I don't know if that was just more of a Pittsburgh thing, but Watson, over the last, I think it is 6 weeks. I wrote this in the article, but it's either the last 5 or 6 weeks. He's basically the second best. He's really just tied for the most DraftKings points per game since week 11. He's tied for most DraftKings points per game out of quarterback. It's something we expected at the beginning of the season. Didn't get it before they fired O'Brien, but clearly, in the second third of the season. Or third of the season. He's turned it on. I mean, do you feel just maybe better about a Watson situation here than Hurts? It's only a little. The price difference is probably different enough on DraftKings that maybe you go Hurts on DraftKings, Watson on FanDuel, or you just feel better about Watson in general.
I would instantly play Watson over Hurts on FanDuel. I wouldn't even think very hard about it. I think Hurts aspires to be Deshaun Watson, and if he's like, if it all goes right and he just keeps rolling sixes, he'll eventually be as good as Deshaun Watson. We haven't seen anything like that from him in the first two games. Yeah, the carries have been great, but, you know, Watson can get 10 carries in a game as well. Watson has been absurdly consistent since O'Brien left. His worst game in that time was the 14 fantasy point game against Cleveland. But other than that, you're
that was
in
a weather,
20s.
And that was a weather thing.
Exactly. Like, yeah, that, that's what I was going to say. Other than that, you're just in the 20s, you know, and when you start with 20 fantasy points, I would take that consistency over what Hurts has brought so far. So anyway, yes, prefer Watson dramatically to Hurts on FanDuel. When the price difference is larger on DraftKings, I'm willing to think it over. I do still think Hurts is a value over there, but yeah, I'm solidly on the Watson camp on FanDuel.
Right now, the Eagles have right around 26 implied points, and Houston has 28 implied points. So if you want to use, if you're trying to maybe decide between the two guys, maybe take the team total. Like I said, I think when it's all said and done, we'll have Watson projected for more, and it'll probably just come down to, you know, what kind of what you're doing elsewhere. If you feel like those extra $300 or $600 on either site, respectively, is important. I think I'm going to mention this on the podcast tomorrow, but I think Mahomes is still a fine option here against Atlanta. That game has got a really high total. I still probably think Lamar Jackson's probably good. There's a lot of good choices here. Some weeks we've walked into this been like, it's, you know, this guy or bust or these two guys, and that's going to kind of be it. I do think you probably see the ownership spread out a little bit more this week, only because some of these top tier quarterbacks are all in pretty good spots. I do like to sometimes on DraftKings walk down the price tier a little bit, because savings is material on DraftKings in a way that it isn't on FanDuel, just because the pricing is tighter and it can sometimes be more difficult to make lineups that don't have to punt a guy or whatever. So quarterback is sometimes a place you can save. I did write at Mitch Trubisky here. The matchup is really good against Jacksonville. Jacksonville continues to be a very bad defense, one of the worst in the league. Let me just check real quick where they land. I think right now are they dead last? No, Detroit. Ooh, Detroit, nice job. Detroit actually worse than them overall, but Jacksonville retains the worst passing defense in the league, so buoy to them. So Mitch, he's been pretty decent. And the thing here is he's a full $1,300 less than Hurts and a full, what is it? Yeah, full $2,000 less than, or no, $1,500 less than Watson. He's been pretty accurate over the last three games, completing more than 70% of his passes. Touchdowns are at 5-1. Gets out and runs occasionally, 34 and 23 yards in each of the last two games. Could you stomach a Trubisky play, again, with the caveat that he's much cheaper?
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to do anything for a price, Doug. You know, it's like the Winston Churchill story where, yeah, I don't want to get into this on the podcast, but the long story short is, I don't know, I might border on the explicit tag or at least make people uncomfortable, which I don't want to do. I'll tell you off the air.
No, well, I'll sum it up. The story is that, you know, he asked somebody if they're willing to do something.
It was like his wife and his daughter.
Yeah, so his wife and his daughter. And once they establish a high price, then he's saying that if once you establish a higher price, we've agreed that you'll do it. So now we're just going to find the actual price.
Now we're negotiating. Yeah exactly. And I think that's how I feel about almost every DFS play, where it's like, no, I don't want to play Trubisky, but if he was $100, I would definitely play him, right? Sure. So that's my caveat. If the system says so, I suppose I'll double check the inputs and I could theoretically stomach it, but I'm not excited about it.
It's just that you when you run a Trubisky lineup compared to a Jalen Hurts lineup, it's basically you buy yourself one more what I'll call safer guy, right? Like you're right. Going to you grab one more guy in the top tier. Like you go up from, let's say, that's a good example here. You go from like a Calvin Ridley up to a Tyreek Hill or something like that. That's not a perfect example or you go from like a very cheap wide receiver up to, you know, a middle tier guy or something like that. So I'm doing a bad job of giving the one for one because I thought it'd be a little more clear as I'm looking through these lineups. But I'll give an example. You go basically, no, that's not, never mind. I'm stumbling here. Okay. Anyway, so the Trubisky thing is that the matchup is good. Jacksonville has really led it up to opposing quarterbacks this season. And again, he hasn't, I know that the idea of Trubisky sort of has been, you know, sort of pukey in the past. I'm mostly pointing out that over the short term, he's played some bad defenses. It really hasn't been that bad. He's just been a decent quarterback. And overall, I think that I can make a case for it. And there's a clear reason that he's third on this list. And I mentioned a bunch of other dudes before him.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, let's talk running backs. I do think running back feels like we're probably waiting on some news here to start. I think there's probably some pretty clear plays. Where do you want to start with running back? It does feel like we're not going to go top tier. There really aren't a lot of these top tier guys aren't even on this main slate, but where do you want to go here with running back?
Now, that's the important thing to start with is that since the games are so spread out this week, the only truly expensive running backs this week are Christian McCaffrey, currently questionable, going up against a tough Washington defense. I don't see anyone doing that. And then Nick Chubb, he's somehow 9,000. This guy got 17 carries last game, or 17 touches against the Giants last game. I just don't see a world where anyone plays Nick Chubb in cash. He's also got Kareem Hunt there to cause trouble. So, nah, not going to play him. Which leaves us with the next man up, David Montgomery. Montgomery has seen his price rise from around 6,000 5 weeks ago up to 7,800. And frankly, it's pretty much justified. He's getting all the goal line carries for them. He's got 5 touchdowns across his last 3 games. And what we saw last game against Minnesota, I think, was the most important development of the season, where we saw that when the game script is going favorably for him, he is capable of 30-plus touches. That's something that I believe I said explicitly he wasn't capable of doing. So, you know, I don't know if they're listening to the podcast. I'm not sure exactly what's going on there, but Montgomery also now averaging, Doug, 69.69 rush yards per game. So that's a good number of rushing yards per game.
There you go.
I'm a small child.
explain why that's a good one. Explain why that specifically is a good number.
It's just a lot. You know, there aren't a lot of...
Well, now that we're almost doubled down on the Churchill thing, we might as well just have gone all the way there at this point. Like, you just... there's no
reason. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just trying to point out, if I can get through the read on Montgomery here, 69.69 rush yards per game is really good. And a lot of that has come recently. Okay, I'm done. But yeah, so 23 or more fantasy points in each of his last 4 games. And he gets the best matchup on the board. Jacksonville has been in a well-documented tooth-and-nail fight against Detroit to be the worst defense of the year, and they edged back past Detroit last week. Montgomery, he's the highest quality, most consistent back available on the slate. He's probably still underpriced for this matchup. So anyway, we'll play him everywhere.
Do you want to know who the top-ranked DraftKings points-per-game running back is since Week 10?
No.
It's Derrick Henry.
Sorry, I said I don't want to know.
You want to know who number 2 is?
No, I don't care about it.
It's David Montgomery. David Montgomery is number 2, the number 2 running back on DraftKings for the last 5 weeks. And if you go one more week out, he's the top guy. That is pretty remarkable, especially considering some of the games that Henry's had in that term. Montgomery since week 11 on, which again is only 4 weeks or whatever, he's averaging almost 29 DraftKings points per game. I do think he's going to end up being the chalk here. Look, can he turn in a 10 carry performance? Yeah, he's done it. 10, 11. He's got these numbers on his game log, and it's not too distant. The 32, you cannot project him for 20 plus carries. It's just we have not seen that this season, even in the right game scripts. It was only go back a week where they were winning by 29 points and he touched the ball 15 total times, right? Yeah, again, one of them was an 80 yarder. So you want to say, well, maybe that's more like 15 carries because he would have just broken him up during that drive. Okay. I can hear that, but overall, I do think just more overall the short term performance and just the nature of the slate, I do think he's going to be chalk. After him, can we trust Le'Veon Bell here? Minus 11 for KC, they're going to be without Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Is he? Where do you want to? I'm going to skip over the one of the injury guys. I'm going to go down a little bit farther here. Can we lock Bell into like all of the running back touches for whatever they're worth on KC?
I'm not sure I'm ready to go quite that far yet. I mean, I think he's going to get plenty, and I think he'll get a running back one style workload. Last week, he had 15 carries and a target. CEH had 14 and 3. So Bell doesn't need to get all of those. There is some speculation right now that Darnell Williams is going to spell Bell on third downs from time to time. But it's not like Bell has no track record of catching balls out of the backfield, right? So, like, I think that you just roll with it. You assume the game script is going to be in his favor. He's definitely getting goal line carries here between him and Williams. So, yeah, I'm playing Bell. You know, I don't want to throw any shade on this play at all. I'm certainly playing him in cash. But I could see something like a 2.5-1 split in touches between him and Williams rather than like a pure easy every down guy.
Yeah, I feel like he's kind of a lock for me for cash. I think minus 11 at home, yeah, the fact that he got all the, he's definitely going to at least, you would assume that he's at least starts the game in that role. The offense is so great. I know they pass a ton, but like you said, he has shown the ability to do that in the past, even though it didn't happen last week. So I think I'm pretty much a lock. Like, for instance, okay, so let's just talk about a few of these other guys. So if Tony Pollard was starting again for Dallas, would you rather play Pollard or Bell?
Ooh. Pollard, probably.
Or maybe both. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. I don't want to be making that decision.
Okay, well, here's the other problem, because I think J.D. McKissic, I'm doing the style a little different than we usually do cash play game plays, because I just think there's some context.
There's a lot to talk about. You know, in the article, I kind of go and break it all down. There are a number of situations that could change that could, you know, really influence where we wind up leaning at running back this week. So this is a worthwhile exercise.
Yeah, the Washington thing. I think McKissic, I think you look at his, how they've used him just really kind of almost with any quarterback this season with the targets, and he got a lot of carries last week. But then Haskins looks like he's going to probably be suspended for this COVID thing. Like, this COVID went to a strip club with no mask on after the game. And that
you had to wear the mask at the strip club, Dwayne. Come on, man.
Keep everyone
safe, buddy.
It's considered high risk COVID-19 conduct. He faces a 4-game suspension. I have a feeling the league in the old let's make an example out of this style is probably going to suspend him just for nothing else. That it's so high profile. And it was such a blatant, you know, whatever you want to say about it, it was this, the rules are their rules. So, and it was a blatant violation of what they've been pretty clear about the rules. Would that be enough to having to go down from him to, who's their backup here?
Well, so for starters, yeah. Alex Smith isn't ruled out. This is important.
Right.
He's currently viewed as day to day. He will be practicing in some capacity this week. And there's some optimism that he could actually play on Sunday. So if he plays, I think you can assume that McKissic will have a similar role. The important development from last week was that, like, it looked like Peyton Barber would be the chief ball carrier and McKissic would be used more catching balls out of the backfield. That didn't actually materialize. The football team realized that the Barber's just awful. You know,
he's so bad.
The 14 carries for 26 yards in the prior game, they realized that he couldn't do a damn thing. So they realize that McKissic is a little bit more dynamic. So I think he'll be somewhat safe regardless. If they can't play Smith or Haskins,
Taylor Heinicke, by the way.
Things can get ugly in a hurry is what I was going to say. So I don't know. I don't think I would want to play any of these football team players if I keep wanting to say the other name. If neither Smith nor Haskins played, but that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think we're still waiting on Zeke news for Tony Pollard. Maybe we'll have something a little more definitive for tomorrow's podcast. I'm not sure. Do you trust the David Johnson targets from last week? Because he's another guy I know you nodded to.
Not really. Yeah. I mean, I could see it coming together. Obviously, Duke would have to miss again. I don't especially trust it. He did line up as a receiver a little bit, which I thought was an interesting development. But yeah, there's just a lot. This is a complicated position right now. And I'm thankful that we got Montgomery at Bell at the top. I think we'll probably play those two guys, and we'll come back to the last ones. I'll say if everything breaks in the favor of our other options, I'd like to play Tony Pollard. By the way, Zeke currently listed as having a chance to play, which sounds like he's more, you know, questionable than probable. I'd probably go with Pollard first, and then I'm not overly thrilled about the other options after that. Like, I guess McKissic, but yeah, even that. We've seen that be hit or miss with Smith under center. I really liked Haskins there because he only even tried to do three things. Like, he just threw it to, like, Thomas got 15 targets. And then McLaurin and McKissic both hit double digits as well. But yeah, we'll see. But yeah, I do think we'll wind up with three good options. It's just a matter of which ones.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, I think we're walking into it with two good ones. You mentioned Montgomery. I think Montgomery's basically just have to lock him in here based on the situation. And I think we're going to end up having to probably lock Le'Veon Bell unless we hear that he's going to just, you know, maintain this, you know, change of pace style of running back, and they're with a full week of practice are able to get Williams in there. I think that would be, I'd have to hear that news specifically to not want to play Bell. Otherwise, I think I'm just going to trust that he's, you know, a 15 touch guy. And for at his price, I think that probably gets the job done. The one thing about Chubb too, I think people will try to talk themselves into the Jets defense has been decent against the run this year. I get that that's probably a little outlierish based on how they are, but they looked decent against last week against the Rams when they pulled off that totally improbable nonsensical win. But the if I'm looking to just like talk myself out of the Chubb thing, I think that might be, you know, one of the ways I go. All right, let's talk about receivers. I do think based on the nature of how we're going with running back, we're probably going to be able to pay up for a receiver here in the top tier. Not all the top guys are on this slate just because of the way things break down. I think you can consider Tyreek Hill, though the price is climbing a little bit. I wrote up Calvin Ridley. I think I'd be all right with Ridley even if Jones played, and I think I'm definitely probably just going to want to run him here. If Jones doesn't play, he's still been even the whole season, and Julio Jones has been here, a decent amount of games. Ridley is just one of the top tier wide receivers in terms of targets this season. He's coming off a huge target week. You have to believe Atlanta's gonna be playing from behind in this game, And so at 8,700 on FanDuel, I'm pretty sure I can stomach that. 8,500 between him and Tyreek, it's a little closer on DraftKings only because it's only a $500 difference. Do you have a kind of a gut feeling between these two? I wrote up Ridley. But I think I probably could have written up Tyreek. And that is what I would put as like the top tier group of wide receivers on this slate. There's a couple other guys a little further down, but where do you stand on these two top guys?
Yeah, I'm liking where your head's at. I think Ridley's role is probably a little bit more secure than Hill's, and he's a little bit cheaper. So while the overall fantasy points per game aren't on the same tier, that also takes into account the fact that Tyreek Hill has a 51-point fantasy game, right? So, yeah. When you kind of average that out to a normal game, then I think they're very similar, and then Ridley's just cheaper. And like I said, he's got fewer mouths to feed in Atlanta. So I think I'd prefer him slightly. I also think there's a better chance that Atlanta is forced to pass rather than Kansas City. So I think if Julio Jones were to return, I'd probably lean in Hill's direction. At that point, I'd be assuming that at least some of Ridley's production this season was a result of Jones missing so much time, and I think you can even knocking him down 10% or something would make me want to lean Hill, but it's close, and right now I'm leaning towards Ridley.
Yeah, I didn't write him up, but I'm just going to make mention of him right now because I think it's probably worth it because we've talked about the other guys in this Bears offense, and that's Allen Robinson. He's coming off of down target week against Minnesota, but he had 13, 7, and 13 the 3 weeks before and has shown, Trubisky has shown a willingness to throw to him. It didn't happen last week in just sort of like a game where they ended up running the ball with Montgomery 32 times. So, and again, I think we can agree that that is not going to be the norm. I can see a scenario where just kind of stacking Robinson and Montgomery in cash on this week has a really, really high floor. The famous last words when Cordell Patterson and Darnell Mooney are catching touchdowns or whatever. But I think in general, from the way we've seen the Bears allocate touches overall, those two guys do see an outsized number in touches, and they just get such a good defense. So didn't write up Robinson, probably could have. Did write up Cooks and Kuti, because I think the Houston guys are also still in a good spot here against Cincinnati for the very same reasons we talked about Washington. Kuti caught a touchdown last week. You know, David Johnson, I think if we agree that those targets are not really repeatable, I think we probably see a situation where they want to end up going back to Cooks. And then Kuti kind of, like, you know, said he saw some targets in there as well. Cooks, the price has remained. He's like he's this year's Robbie Anderson for us. Or no, sorry, DJ Moore. DJ Moore was the guy for us last year, where it's just like every week he's 7,000 on FanDuel. And it's just like every week we're playing DJ Moore. He just gets 8 to 9 targets every week. Like, this is just what happens. I feel like Brandon Cooks is this year's version of that.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I will say that Cooks' targets haven't been as impressive as they could have been the last couple weeks, keeping in mind that in that first Indy game, he left early. And then last game, he only got 7 targets. I've got no excuses for that. I was disappointed by that performance. So it's not like he's been absolutely crushing it or anything, but it does feel like that big game is around the corner. So I can't say I'd be pumped to see Cooks in the lineup. You know, I think he was only 20% owned or so in FanDuel cash games last week, and the price has gone up a little bit. So I do think there's reason for some concern, but at the end of the day, I would play him if he just wound up finding himself in lineups.
And the other guy I wrote up here is Jarvis Landry. Landry gets the Jets defense that's better against the run and pretty abysmal against the pass. He's kind of like worked his way back into that just target share guy that we've seen in years past. It wasn't totally materializing, at least early in the season, when he had, you know, six targets. But over the last 4 weeks, and this is after they removed themselves some of these weird weather games, his targets have been 8, 9, 10, and 11 over the last 4 weeks, all wins for Cleveland. So I can see a situation. Now, look, the yards really don't materialize, and that's going to be always kind of the case with him. I get he had a 143-yard game against Jacksonville 4 weeks ago, but the other, for the amount of targets he gets, it's 60, 52, 61 yards. Touchdowns have been there in the short term. I think he strikes me as just sort of like a higher floor play that's still coming very reasonably priced. Like 6,500. I'm with you. I probably would rather, and I wrote him up ahead of him, I think, but I'd rather play Landry than Cooks.
That's how I feel as well. I think that they're very similar, and Landry's cheaper and probably a better matchup. So I would ultimately lean in that direction too.
Keep an eye on the Chargers situation with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. Neither played. It was so infuriating. They were both active last week, and Keenan Allen in a true troll move. And I think when you're this professional athlete, you got to believe in yourself. There's no other way to do it. But he tweeted out or yelled at the camera or something like that.
Play me at fantasy or something.
Yeah, don't sit me this week. And then he promptly went and caught one ball for 17 yards on 24 snaps and barely
touchdown.
Did he catch a touchdown that game?
Yeah, that was, he had his like one catch was a touchdown.
No, it wasn't. It doesn't matter. Maybe I'm looking at this wrong. Anyway, he and Mike Williams were both active, but they both just barely even played. The guys that did play, Jalen Guyton played and had six targets. And then Tyron Johnson played. It was the second wide receiver up. He had five targets total. Both of them had a lot of yards. They had 150 yards and a touchdown combined. They're both basically free on DraftKings. If we get a situation where Keenan Allen and or Mike Williams are ruled out, I think you can talk yourself into these dudes just for their mostly for their DraftKings price, where they're coming. Like Jalen Guyton's 3,200, Tyron Johnson's 4,000. I got to see that these guys are sitting though. Even being active again just cuts into the snap counts too much. So I'm just making that one little caveat. All right, finish this off with tight ends. You probably put Logan Thomas first here, which made sense after the last couple of weeks, but does he just...
Yeah, this is before I realized that Haskins was... Yeah. That his status was in doubt. We wrote up Thomas last week, too, going into last week, so this isn't like a new development for him. He's been getting a lot of targets, and tight end is bad, and his stock is rising, so I still maintain that he would be a reasonable play. If you were to get Haskins or Smith, as you keep going down that depth chart, I don't think I would be as bullish on it, but... listen, you're getting a guy in the low 6,000s who's showing up with double-digit target threat. You know, like that's not something you're going to find as you scroll through other names at this position. So that was more of it. But yeah, if it turns out that we don't get either quarterback, then you can no longer do it. I think DFS owners are going to be once again faced with a conundrum of whether they can afford Travis Kelce or not, too. That number of people that has been playing him has gone down in recent weeks. I think last week was the first on the main slate in a little while that he was under 50% owned, and it was like 47%. I mean, he's got seven straight weeks with eight catches. He's got touchdowns in five of those seven last weeks. He's the literal definition of safe. But now, I think at 8,800 on FanDuel, as you compare him to other guys in that same price tier, you're talking about, you know, Tyreek Hill and Calvin Ridley, and I think the comparisons become a lot less favorable once you get there. The math that you're going to have to do is, you know, Kelce plus a $6,000 receiver or Ridley plus a $6,000 tight end. And my suspicion is that Ridley plus a $6,000 tight end is going to feel like a better deal. So I would love to play him, like to play him every week. I don't think this is too much for him. It's just a question of the value of a replacement. And I think that since tight ends are just kind of normally priced in this tier, that you can find more of like a normal guy at 6,000 in the way you can't really at wide receiver.
Yeah, and those normal guys would be like Noah Fant, who had 11 targets last week, right? Dallas Goedert, who had 8 targets last week. And so I think...
And Hunter Henry is still lurking. He's getting 7-8 targets a week.
Hunter Henry, especially if those other receivers are out, right? Like, so I think there are probably... God, I can't believe I'm saying this because we just dumpstered on tight end all season long. This might be where we can finally have enough guys, you know, these are the FanDuel prices, enough guys in that range. I mean, Dallas Goedert's 3,600 on DraftKings. He had 8 targets last week. Do you want to trust it totally with Jalen Hurts? Probably not. But
yeah, no, not really. But if he's that cheap, I think you can do it. I mean, the issue with any of these guys, not named Travis Kelce or Logan Thomas, frankly, is that you don't have to go long at all. Like, Noah Fant had a one-catch game 3 games ago, right? So, like, cool, he had 11 targets last week. But smart teams, with their tight ends in particular, are often – like, the tight end is rarely the game plan for a team, with the exceptions this season of, what, Kelce, Darren Waller. That's pretty much it, right? I'd say otherwise. And now Logan Thomas. I think he was a principal part of the game plan for Washington last week. Otherwise, you're an afterthought. You're there when the team needs 8 yards or – a goal line play to mix it up. And yeah, if you can get someone who's a real part of the offense, you're going to increase your floor significantly. So yeah, there are some mix and match pieces.
One thing on Goddard is worth mentioning here is that in Hurts' first 2 starts, Goddard has led the team in targets in both games, 6 and 8 targets. Yeah. So I think if you're looking for just 2 game samples, sometimes in the NFL is kind of enough with like a new guy. It doesn't mean that Goddard's going to get 7 targets. That's the average, but at least means that that is the default for now. And I think that alone is enough to, you know, trust. I mean, how much can you trust anybody? But how much can you trust anybody in this world, James? I know it's a, you know, it's a deeper question for another day. I don't know. I guess it depends who we're talking about. In this case, I trust Alex.
I trust you, buddy.
There we go. Okay. We're going to be back again tomorrow, breaking down every game on the main slate. We'll be throwing out some bets. I'll try to get some bets from Friday and Saturday in there to get started as well, because I think there's some value.
I'm betting all of those games, I believe. I was looking at this earlier, and I have a bet in on each of the Saturday games and the Thursday game. So,
well, there you go.
Tune in tomorrow and you can hear them all.
So we'll go through all of those tomorrow. In the meantime, dfsr.com/deals is going to get you started. That's going to cover you for football. It's also going to cover you for NBA. We opened up with NBA cash on FanDuel last night. So a nice way to start the season. Huge Wednesday slate here coming down the pike. And then, you know, Christmas Day coming up as well. So it's all so much good stuff happening. We cover it all under one subscription package. So go find a better outfit that's doing that. They likely don't. I know they, for a fact, they don't. They sell individual packages for every other sport. Not us. We just, if we have it up on the site, members only chat room, optimal lineups, all the betting tools, player lab, everything. If it's up on the site, you get it all under one subscription package. So go check it out. Take a free 7-day trial. And tomorrow, talking every game on the main slate.